Mark Dancos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We would like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station that's going to be bringing Mark Dancos, America, and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider constituency in the American South. And we also welcome Dr. Stephen J. Snigoski, who's been with us in the last hour. He'll be with us for the next 2 hours this morning. He holds a Ph.D. in American history, specializing in American foreign policy, and PhD is from the University of Maryland. He has had articles published in The World and I, Modern Age, Current Concerns, Zeitfragen, Telos, The Occidental Quarterly, Arab News, and The Last Ditch. You can find The Last Ditch by going to my website, markdancos.com, going to the links page, and clicking on the logo for The Last Ditch, which will take you into editor Nicholas Strachan's entire compendium of articles, not only by Dr. Snigoski, but a whole host of other very fine people as well, taking on all kinds of subjects, not simply those related to foreign policy in the Middle East, and attacking a few sacred cows now and then at that website from a very responsible and articulate and academically oriented perspective. We've been talking with Dr. Snigoski in the last hour about this whole question of Israel and neoconservative influence in American foreign policy, how that has expressed itself through such things as the Clean Break document of 1996, produced by certain people of the Project for a New American Century for Benjamin Netanyahu, the ex-Likud Prime Minister of Israel, the role of Dick Cheney in bringing neoconservatism into greater import within the Bush administration, and where we head with this now in regard to what seems to be a series of setbacks for the American war in Iraq and what that may portend for the future. Steve, as we've been chatting about some of these things, I noticed toward the tail end of your most recent article, Not Oil But Israel, that you cite a number of people in the so-called realist school of the international relations field in this country. Mearsheimer comes to mind, Alexander George, Robert Jervis, Stephen Walt. These are some of the folks that you mentioned here. And they were among 33 academicians who took out an ad, according to your piece, in the September 26, 2002 New York Times, saying that war with Iraq is not in America's national interest. And we go on, of course, to read in the tail end of your article a series of well-known figures in the American military establishment who have opposed this war and continue to do so. And as we run up to a point where we have now spent, apparently, as of these latest supplemental appropriations, over $500 billion on this effort, as we borrow more Asian money from Asian banks to keep this thing going, as we lose more lives and as we kill more people, and as we find ourselves facing what some are advocating, which is an expansion of this doctrine of preemption into a situation with Iran, do you think that some of these more recent indications of dissent on the part of elements of the American foreign policy and military elites, policy-making elites, is an indication that the neoconservative point of view is starting to receive much closer examination, that it is not necessarily the force it was two or three years ago in powerful places?
Well, the problem with what you're saying is many of these establishment groups in the military, from that article I pointed out, they were opposed to the war in Iraq from the very beginning.
Yes, and I think that that's fair to underscore.
So they were opposed to that. It's not that, you know, I read somewhere that, you know, like Baker just turned against the war, or, you know, there, you know, he realized this wasn't helping the empire or something of that sort. That's simply not true. Most of the establishment foreign policy people were opposed to the war in Iraq from the very beginning. So that the fear of destabilization. But, of course, the war in Iran, the realization is this can be far more devastating for the United States and the global economy
Yes, and we'll take that up when we come back. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky, the ozone layer unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Soleil salt lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYwellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Soleil wellness products created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Soleil Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274. 866-497-0274.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
San Antonio, Texas, and the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Stephen J. Snigoski, and you can find many of Steve's articles at The Last Ditch. He has a Ph.D. from the University of Maryland in American History with an emphasis in American foreign policy, and if you do a Google search on his name, you will find articles popping up from 5 or 6 or 10 different publications. And you can see how wide and how deep his analysis goes in regard to these things that are going on in the world, and specifically in the Middle East. Dr. Snigoski, talking about this whole business now of Iran, it seems to me that when I look at the Jewish press every day, whether that's Commentary or Forward Magazine in this country, or I'm looking at Haaretz or the Jerusalem Post in Israel, or I'm looking at the daily news feeds of the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, that there is an overwhelming amount of evidence that is printed on a daily basis by those outlets indicating that Israel is very much interested in having the United States go to war with Iran. I don't think that that's an unfair statement. If that happens, given the quagmire that we seem to be involved with in both Iraq and in Afghanistan, how do you think it would unfold if it does happen? First of all, do you think it will? And secondly, if it does happen, what kinds of military strikes are we talking about on the part of the United States? Are we merely looking at an air war? And if so, what kinds of targets with what kind of weaponry? And do you think that there would eventually be the committing of American boots on the ground in Iran?
I'm not a military expert. So,
but
let me make a comment about how the war could start. You know,
sure.
We know from this recent incident with the British sailors who were captured, both sides are on the border there, and those waterways like the Shat al-Arab, you know, apparently have been disputed waterway since about the third millennium B.C. or so. No one knows exactly where this boundary is. Therefore, with both sides being patrolling that area, incidents are always possible, or even, in fact, likely. Now, I was hearing a number of, I guess, American Navy people saying that the American Navy would not have surrendered to the Iranians. They would have fought. Well, they were surrounded by these gunboats, apparently. If 15 American sailors had been shot down by the Iranians, and we would claim this was on, and of course the British are claiming, this is on Iraqi territory, that, I think, could be an incident which Bush could use to make war on Iran. So the possibility, the likelihood of making, you know, war is always there and generating public support for war. So as long as American forces are in Iraq, there's always a great likelihood that war can be made, American war can be made on Iran as a result of some type of incident. And of course, you mentioned before how American special operations people are actually penetrating the Iranian border. So, you know, it's a very hot, you know, situation there that could go off at any time. Now, what would occur in this war? You know, apparently, you know, as I said, I'm not an expert here, but the military apparently has run some computer game, you know, games or something, war games there via computer, and things don't come off that well with the United States, that Iran can control the Straits of Hormuz, perhaps can sink some American ships. I've heard that American carriers, you know, are not really that defensible, given the fact that Iran has quite a few missiles that it can shoot from the shore. That, yes, America, it does have higher technology, but it still can be overwhelmed by numbers. So Iran is not quite the same pushover that Iraq was, and Iran seems to be willing to fight. Does this mean Iran can stand up to the United States? Well, no, but the fact, if Iran can initially do some damage, sink a carrier, you know, kill a number of American sailors or soldiers, unleash terrorist attacks in Iraq that kill American soldiers, I think this would so anger the American people that the bombing of Iran would go beyond simply hitting these alleged nuclear power plants and places where nuclear weapons are supposedly being developed, that it would attack, you know, attack Iran in a broader sense, causing significant losses of life. And of course, we've heard the possibility of the United States actually using nuclear weapons. I think they're talking about smaller nuclear weapons, not bigger city busters. However, you know, even smaller nuclear weapons, you know, will have a large collateral damage in terms of human lives. And of course, the whole world, not to say the entire Islamic world, will be outraged. And I'm certain that would lead to greater terror attacks on Americans and Westerners, which probably would anger the American people even more, and the demand for even expanding, you know, more warfare in the Middle East. So it's a terrible development that I think is in front of us, unless something is done right away to negotiate in the Middle East, like the a Baker Commission called for with Iran, and also to remove American troops as soon as possible so no incidents can come about.
Yeah, it certainly seems to me that between the approximately, 150,000 troops that we have in Iraq, give or take, and then, of course, we have both the American and the NATO contingency in Afghanistan. But more ominously, it seems to me, in recent times, the appointment of Admiral William Fallon, formerly of SINCPAC in Hawaii, to suddenly becoming the head of CENTCOM in Florida, which has been running our effort in Iraq. And Admiral Fallon, as I understand it, is the first Navy admiral, as opposed to an Army general, to be running CENTCOM. And Pat Buchanan and others believe that that is a sign that the Bush administration, in appointing Admiral Fallon, was primarily interested in having his naval aerial combat expertise and his expertise at keeping sea lanes open, presumably, to be used to plan not as much for what we're presently doing in Iraq as to what many believe the Bush administration is about to do in Iran. And with the conjunction with the support of Israel. So as you look at this whole thing, it's a pretty chilling thing, I think, looking at Michael Chossadovsky's piece on this several weeks ago at Global Research, where he mentions this nuclear weapons thing, specifically in terms of American Con Plan 8022, a National Security Presidential Directive 35, and a couple of specific weapons, the B-6111 and the BLU-113, which are nuclear and conventional bunker-busting counterparts, both of which come up apparently in discussions of the possibility of an attack on Iran. Are we, in your judgment, Dr. Snigowski, looking at a situation where an incident could occur because of the disposition of these American naval forces near the Persian Gulf, because, of course, of this recent British situation with Iran and the Shatt al-Arab waterway, because the United States has these 150,000 troops, give or take, on Iran's western border, with Iraq, that are we looking at a situation where something could happen because that's the present configuration? Or are we looking at a present configuration that, in your view, could be designed to provoke an incident, either a false flag incident or an incident that's not, strictly speaking, a false flag incident, but one which would be used to stoke the fires of public support for a wider war? What do you think?
I think it could be both. You know, my feeling would be that the Bush administration probably would want an incident. If they want an incident, they can get it because of where they are. Now, certainly the neocons would like that. I think there are more, other elements, the military, the State Department, that shy away, that are very much opposed to any war in Iran, and are probably those are the forces that have so far prevented a war from coming about already, because the neocons have been pushing for a war in Iran for some time, and there's been a lot of neocon criticism of the Bush administration for failing to take more aggressive policies toward Iran. But also, even if the goal is not to provoke a war, just by being in these areas, in such close proximity, that can always lead to some type of accident straying across the boundaries. And of course, we have to look at the Iranian position, too. It looks like the Revolutionary Guards there are quite aggressive themselves. So, we don't know, they're hot heads on the Iranian side who really would like to, take on the United States, as crazy as that may be. And a problem is, it's conceivable that the way America is situated, the forces are situated right now, some type of a major attack on Iran might lead to some initial successes on their part. Of course,
yes,
ultimately, that would lead for more destruction of Iran, because American people would be so angered, they would have the United States go all out to wreck Iran.
We'll be back with Dr. Steven Snigoski of The Last Ditch. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Soleil Salt Lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation, and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYWellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Soleil Wellness products, created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Soleil Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274. 866-497-0274.
Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Stephen J. Snigoski of The Last Ditch. And Dr. Snigoski has a PhD from the University of Maryland. He is published all over the place. You'll find him at The World and I, Zeitfragen, Telos, The Occidental Quarterly, Arab News, and so forth and so on. We've been talking today a little bit about American foreign policy in the Middle East, and its relationship to the Israeli lobby and the neoconservative movement in the United States as well as elsewhere. And we've started discussing a little bit of the possibilities that this conflict could escalate into an American preemptive military intervention in Iran. Looking at your situation then, Stephen, in regard to your understanding of this, are we just taking a look at the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. You know, it seems to me, and my father's a retired Air Force colonel. Matter of fact, going back 3 decades ago, he was a logistical advisor to the Imperial Iranian Air Force, the Shah's Air Force, before the Islamic Revolution, working for the Lockheed Company. And, you know, it seems to me that guys who were educated in the military schools of thought that my dad was a couple of generations ago tended to see things pretty conventionally in regard to the fact that if you had a superior conventional military force in the air and on the ground and on the high seas, that probably meant that you were going to prevail in any given situation. But certainly that has not proven to be the case, at least yet, for the United States and Iraq and Afghanistan. Folks who are looking at this possibility of a war with Iran are quite concerned about Iran's capabilities in the area of asymmetrical warfare. And you mentioned the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. I remember the news reports between 1980 and 1988 about the success of their human attack waves against Iraq in that war that went on for 8 years. Absolutely incredible the amount of carnage that they were willing to both inflict and sustain in what proved to be a military conflict by other means that finally caused Iraq, I think, to, in its own mind, conclude that they needed to wrap this thing up with Iran and call it a draw. Do you think that the United States has any personal recognition of the capabilities of this Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, certainly their performance during the Iran-Iraq War? And also, I think you've alluded to it well, whether you call it fervor or fanaticism, the ideological commitment of these Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps people to doing presumably whatever it would take to repel an American and or Israeli strike. What's your feeling on this?
Well, you know, I don't think there's going to be a massive infantry attacks like there were in the Iran-Iraq War with these human wave attacks. I don't think that would work against the American military with superior firepower from what the Iraqis had in the 1980s. However, Iran also does have, you know, fairly sophisticated weaponry, and what I'm told, they could conceivably shoot down some planes, could sink some our ships in the Persian Gulf, aren't really that defensible, I am told. So there will be American losses, and you know, it's also conceivable that Iran could launch a preemptive strike if they feel threatened, if they feel that the United States is going to definitely attack. Iran might want to get in the first blow. Now, as I said, while that might do some damage to American troops, ultimately the United States would come back and destroy Iran. But, you know, we say these people are crazy. You know, I don't think they're not acting crazy. They're acting very cautious. But it's conceivable that if they feel, you know, no matter what, Iran's going to be attacked, there might be the desire to get in the first blow, so which I think could be destructive of the United States. At least that's what, you know, people tell me, that Iran does have weapons, unless the United States initially, you know, destroys them in some bombing runs, as Israel used to launch preemptive attacks on the Arabs, for example, 1967. Sometimes you can knock out your enemy's weapons. I assume the United States could do that. But I don't claim to be a military expert, but it is a dangerous situation, not simply for a war with Iran, but the aftermath, what this would do to global terrorism if the United States destroys another Islamic nation, more terror against the United States, the whole oil problem, the whole oil market would be terribly destabilized, the price of oil would go up tremendously, so it could just affect the whole international economy. I don't know how Russia and China would react to this, probably not in a war, but maybe they would, you know, China might take advantage of this situation. America's fighting a war in Iran, or more people are angry. You might take advantage of it in the Far East.
We'll be back. I wanted to ask you when we come back, Dr. Snigowski, about this Wall Street Journal report yesterday talking about the fact that Putin had agreed to go along with this most recent set of U.N. sanctions against Iran and what that might mean. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. For the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Sole Salt Lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYwellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Sole Wellness products created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Sole Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274, 866-497-0274.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Stephen Snigosky, who holds a Ph.D. in American history. He specializes in American foreign policy. That Ph.D. is from the University of Maryland. You can find Dr. Snigosky's articles in The World and I, Modern Age, Current Concerns, Zeit Fragen, Telos, The Occidental Quarterly, Arab News, and The Last Ditch. And again, you can find The Last Ditch by going to my website at markdankoff.com. Clicking on the links page, and there's a big logo for The Last Ditch, among many other news sources. Just click on The Last Ditch, and it will take you directly to all of what editor Nicholas Strachan has compiled at The Last Ditch. It's quite a website, hard-hitting stuff, and they pull no punches in regard to their conversations on a whole host of issues and subjects. Dr. Snigosky, talking then about this whole business of Russia is one example There have been a couple of things reported on in recent days in regard to Russia and to Vladimir Putin. One is that the Russians were apparently persuaded to go along with the most recent UN Security Council pronouncement on Iran, what seemed to be something of a reversal for the Russians. There's also been a report in several places that Russia is having some sort of dispute with Iran, allegedly, in regard to getting payments for their building operation of Iran's nuclear plant at Bushehr. What do you think is going on with all of this? And to the extent that Vladimir Putin quite possibly has been brought on board, at least to a limited extent, in supporting what the United States wants in regard to this UN Security Council resolution, what do you think the quid pro quo might be between the U.S. and Putin?
Well, I'm not sure that he has been brought on board, because I think I also, in the news today, apparently Chinese President Hu Jintao is in Russia meeting with Putin, and both of them emphasize the need for a peaceful solution to the crisis in Iran,
yes.
So that there should be no attack by the United States. The United States should not interpret anything that's been done by the Security Council as authorizing the right to attack Iran.
Gotcha.
So certainly Putin wants to maintain good relations with the United States. He has economic ties. On the same, but also mentioning that he also mentions a concern about Russia, about the United States becoming too powerful in the world. And it does look like China and Russia are drawing together in sort of a balance of power alliance to counter American power. And they have come together more as the United States has been exercising its power in recent years. So we see China and Russia joining together. And would they, do they, but the question is, do they want the United States to avoid attacking Iran? Now, they say they do, but they don't go all out to, they could stop the, any type of embargo on any goods or anything to Iran. They're allowing for the UN to put in economic sanctions. It's conceivable that from the Chinese and Russian position, it would be to their advantage that the United States becomes embroiled in a war in Iran, that this would weaken the United States, just like Union being involved in a war in Afghanistan weakened the Soviet Union and actually helped to precipitate its downfall. So they could have it, they could sort of hold that view too. I'm not sure that they want America to succeed in this area. I doubt that.
Yes. And interestingly enough, what you mentioned here provides, at least in my view, a couple of additional caveats on this whole question of neoconservative doctrine in the Middle East. Certainly an increase in cooperation between Russia and China vis-a-vis the United States in Central Asia and the Middle East presumably is not in this country's interest. And, of course, the other thing that you cite is the fact that if the U.S. does become embroiled in Iran militarily, that we might well find ourselves in an imbroglio that would make our present situation in Iraq and Afghanistan pale by comparison. And it could be, it seems to me, an apocalyptic event that could change the fortunes of the United States forever in the world, much as the Afghan involvement of the Soviet Union a generation ago largely did the same thing for them.
Right. I think that's one thing that the imperialists like Brzezinski recognized from the very beginning, that focusing on the Middle East, being bogged down in the Middle East, weakened the United States in other regions of the world and also weakened the overall American military posture, because so much money is being devoted to this particular war just for troops and such, whereas there's probably less money available to devote to sophisticated weaponry to keep ahead of both Russia and even more so China. And we have read recently how China is making major strides in terms of a new high-tech, sophisticated weaponry. Well, the United States is just spending billions and billions of dollars just on more traditional military expenditures.
Yes, and so one can see the offspins and offshoots of this whole thing across the board. Well, tell me, in terms of this whole possibility, dreadful, draconian possibility, of not only an American preemptive war against Iran with aerial strikes involving conventional and or tactical nuclear ordnance, the whole, of course, question of whether or not the United States would commit troops to that country would remain to be seen. And looking at all of this, I don't think there's any question in my mind, at least, that there would be a backlash in the Islamic world from Somalia to Indonesia that would be, in my view, absolutely cataclysmic. Two things come to mind here. Do you foresee a possibility that if the United States attacks Iran, that in the predictable backlash throughout the Islamic world, that we could see pro-American regimes in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan potentially going down the tube at the hands of revolutionary Islamic forces, be they Sunni or Shiite? And the second question is this, in regard to what presumably is in Israel's perceived interest, which is maybe keeping Sunnis and Shiites at loggerheads with one another, what are the implications for Israel if an American attack on Iran that will certainly have Israel's support, even if it's for morale purposes only, could result in a pan-Islamic alliance against Israel, where Sunni and Shiite ideological divisions are put aside, and there is a renewed assault on the Zionist state coming from both wings of world Islam? What's your take on that?
I think from the Likudnik, the hardline position that believes in destabilization, that this would be exactly what they would want to achieve. The idea would be all these groups would be fighting among each other, the United States would be fighting them, and also, as opposed to Israel being the major enemy of Islam, the United States becomes Islam's greatest enemy. So in other words, it's conceivable from the hardline position that everything would be good if the whole region becomes destabilized and war and animosity toward the United States. However, there are other Israelis who are very much concerned about the radicalization of the Middle East, that as more moderate governments, or at least less aggressive governments, are toppled and you have more radical leaders, it could be more dangerous to Israel. For example, that's one concern about Syria, to get rid of the some of the, and the Likudniks, or for almost removing the Assad regime, Baathist, secular regime. But if the fear is if that became radical Islamicist, that would be more dangerous to Israel. So there are those who are fearful of the hardline Likudnik policy that is best exemplified in Israel by Benjamin Netanyahu.
Yes.
So there's not complete. Israel is definitely not monolithic in its foreign policy strategy.
And so presumably some of the dividing lines within the American body politic on these subjects could well find their counterparts in dividing lines within the Israeli body politic on these subjects, as well as international Jewry worldwide, where we might discover that it is not the monolith that many people have thought that it is in regard to what it would pursue in the Middle East.
Right. It is definitely not monolithic, and I might say the position of the Likudnik right reflects the ideas of Zev Yabotinsky, the concept of the Iron Wall, that Israel would rule by force. The only way it can exist is by power, and that would entail, of course, weakening its enemies. And other Israelis have supported more of negotiated agreements with the Islamic world to make them accept Israel's existence, but not simply dominate them by force.
Well, in terms of, I have so many other things to ask you in the final hour of the show, and in a few minutes we're going to be coming up on some more commercial breaks again. But in regard to Israel's own situation, presumably they have had some interest in stoking the fires of conflict elsewhere to divert attention from their own situation with the Palestinians. Do you believe at some point that Israel will have to come to terms with the Palestinians on a more realistic basis than they have at this point? And what do you think would be the reaction, not that I think it's going to happen, but what do you think would be the reaction if we had an American presidential administration that was willing to say, hey, look, we will not attack Iran. We will continue to insist that Iran must subject its nuclear program to the most stringent international inspections. And in exchange for that, we will insist that Israel be submitted to the same criteria for international atomic inspection that we are asking of Iran. And then we will also demand of Israel that they abide by the Oslo Accords at a bare minimum and come to an actual final deal with the Palestinians. What do you think? Not that I think the United States government is going to do that, but if they did, how do you think it would play out internationally?
Well, first of all, I think you pointed out that's a total impossibility.
Yes.
For the United States to do that. Never going to happen. We have two standards. One standard for Israel, a much different standard that's applied to the Arabs and Muslims. They must abide by international law, even go farther than international law, because I don't believe enrichment of nuclear fuel is prohibited by the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. So Iran probably is not doing anything wrong, but they have to go even farther than what the law actually demands, whereas Israel's 200 or 400 nuclear weapons are just off limits. They can't even be inspected, and nobody really puts any pressure on them to eliminate their very large nuclear arsenal. So there's a complete double standard. We see the double standard on the occupied territories. Israel was allowed, even though that was supposedly occupied territory, Israel basically set up settlements there, exploits the resources, especially the important aquifer under the West Bank, provides substantial water for Israel. I think now a number of people have pointed out, even critics, that it's basically impossible for Israel to give up the West Bank and really be at the same level of strength that they maintain now, both in economic strength and military strength. So it's almost impossible that they would give up the West Bank. That's why some, of course, this is impossible too, have been on the left have been mentioning the one-state solution. But, of course, that's impossible, I would say, because then the Jewish population would be overwhelmed by the Palestinian one. And, of course, the very purpose for Israel's existence is to have a Jewish state. It couldn't be a Jewish state if it had a significant or even a majority, possible majority, Palestinian population. So the options to be a Jewish state and to have an economy equal to those of the industrialized West, and to have a major military, it appears that Israel has to control the West Bank. And I don't think any of the solutions that Israel has ever proposed have never really given up real control over the West Bank. They've always wanted to maintain most of those settlements, to control the water from that area, to control the borders on the Jordan, under Rabin, never have they really given up full control of the West Bank to the Palestinians. So, and I don't really think they could. If they did, Israel would be a much weaker, poorer nation. Were Israel poorer, the problem is many Jews would leave. If Israel was living at the same standard of living as Palestinians, I don't think there'd be too many Jews that would want to live in such a country. So they really have to exploit the resources from that entire area that includes the West Bank.
Well, my own position on the Zionist state of Israel is certainly the vast minority position in this country, at least if the establishment media and governmental circles are to be believed. I take what would be seen as a controversial position in most of those arenas. I personally believe that the creation of the Zionist state of Israel was a mistake. I think it unfairly disenfranchised 750,000 Palestinians. I don't think in the long run, this is, of course, my own view here, I don't think in the long run it has enhanced the security of the Jews living in Israel. It certainly has created a dangerous hair-trigger foreign and military policy for the United States in the Middle East. When we come back, I wanted to get Dr. Snigowski's take on what he believes about the state of Israel and what the implications of that are. This is Mark Dankos, America on RBN. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Imagine a firefly, simple and innocent, the ability to light the night sky. The ozone layer, unseen by the naked eye, life-sustaining. Our ocean, primordial soup, breathes life. Bring the wonders of nature home.
Sole Salt Lamps, handcrafted from million-year-old crystal salt, will gently ionize and purify your indoor air, helping you breathe easier. Nourish your mind and body with soothing colors for deep relaxation, and neutralize EMF radiation, protecting your family's health.
Visit SOLAYWellness.com for powerful, simple, life-sustaining Sole Wellness products, created from nature in harmony with nature.
Hi, I'm Isabella, founder of Sole Wellness. Visit us or call 866-497-0274. 866-497-0274.
back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Stephen Snigowski, a PhD from the University of Maryland. And Dr. Snigowski, among other things, writes for The Last Ditch, Nicholas Strakon's publication, which you can find on my webpage at markdankoff.com by going to the links section and clicking on The Last Ditch, not only for the articles of Stephen Snigowski, but for a much wider group of articles that Nick Strakon has placed there. It is well worth your time. I wanted to warn Dr. Snigowski, as well as our listeners, that this tends to be a time in the next 10 minutes or so when we have a series of very frequent commercial interruptions, and then there will be a longer period of time for conversation again. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us at republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org, or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, is available for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by, again, using those same contact points, republicbroadcasting.org or 1-800-724-2719. I also understand that our techs are still working on getting our archives fully reloaded and restored at the Republic Broadcasting Network site. When that happens, of course, this particular broadcast will be archived along with all of the other ones. I, at some point, will be posting at Breaking All the Rules News, the American Paleo Conservative website, some information on this show, and specifically the biography of Dr. Stephen Snigowski, as well as links to some of his most important articles. One other thing I would mention before we go to the next commercial break, here's a byline from Moscow, posted yesterday from RIA Novosti, the Russian news agency. Russian military intelligence services are reporting a flurry of activity by U.S. armed forces near Iran's border, a high-ranking security source said Tuesday. Quote, the latest military intelligence data point to heightened U.S. military preparations for both an air and ground operation against Iran, unquote, the official said, adding that the Pentagon has probably not yet made a final decision as to when an attack will be launched. He said the Pentagon is looking for a way to deliver a strike against Iran, quote, that would enable the Americans to bring the country to its knees at minimal cost, unquote. He also said the U.S. naval presence in the Persian Gulf has for the first time in the past 4 years reached the level that existed shortly before the invasion of Iraq in March of 2003. Colonel General Leonid Ivashov, the vice president of the Academy of Geopolitical Sciences, said last week that the Pentagon is planning to deliver a massive airstrike on Iran's military infrastructure in the near future. A new U.S. carrier battle group has been dispatched to the Gulf. The USS John C. Stennis, with a crew of 3,200 and around 80 fixed-wing aircraft, including F/A-18 Hornet and Super Hornet fighter bombers, 8 support ships, and 4 nuclear submarines, are heading for the Gulf, where a similar group led by the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower has been deployed since December of 2006. The U.S. is also sending Patriot anti-missile systems to the region. This is the state of affairs as we presently find it, coming to us from RIA Novosti in Moscow, dated yesterday, March 27th. Do with that information what you will, but at least some of it is corroborated through Western media sources reporting some of the same information. We'll be back on Mark Dankos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And our special guest, Dr. Stephen Snigowski of The Last Ditch. Stay tuned.